pretty much gone from the radio. The Christmas movies are almost gone from the TV lineup, except for the Hallmark Channel, and those will start to go away very soon, too. And in a way, I'm glad, because the picture that many of those decorations paint, and the picture that the songs and shows paint of Christmas, is mostly fake news anyway. Whether it's Santa, or the Polar Express, or the secular holiday songs that completely ignore the birth of Jesus, or whether it's the movies that make his birth just a small part of the whole point of the Christmas celebration, or whether it's the songs, or the sermons in some cases, that tell us what a cute little baby Jesus was, or what a wonderful teacher he grew up to be, and what a shining example he left us in teaching us to be kind to one another, as if that were the point of his gospel. It's fake. It's not real. The utopian view of Christmas, the idealistic view of Christmas, the Hallmark Channel view of Christmas, even the Christmas card view of Christmas is necessarily limited in what it can portray. So let's spend this fifth day of Christmas with Simeon and Anna. In Simeon and Anna, we see two elderly, real-life saints who celebrated Christmas with extraordinary faith and with extraordinary joy. Real-life joy that doesn't ignore the reality of Christ's mission on earth or of the opposition that awaits him and his people in the world. We meet Simeon and Anna on Jesus' presentation day, 40 days after he was born according to the law of Moses. The Feast of the Presentation always falls on February 2nd, 40 days after December 25th. And this year, February 2nd actually falls on a Sunday. We would normally talk about the events of Presentation, Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 31, on that day. Except that this year, February 2nd, happens to also be Transfiguration Sunday. And so we'll take a few moments today and talk about the presentation events as well as the things you heard about in today's gospel. Luke tells us that when the days of Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Back in Leviticus chapter 12, Moses had given the Israelites God's command about purification after childbirth as part of the ceremonial law. The flow of blood always made a person unclean according to the law, but childbirth as part of that law was a special case. Childbirth made a woman ceremonially unclean for 40 days after the birth of a son, 80 days after the birth of a daughter. At the end of those days, the mother was to take two offerings to the Lord's temple, either a lamb and a turtle dove, or if she couldn't afford a lamb, then just two turtle doves, which is the offering Luke indicates that Mary brought that day. The purification rite was a reminder of original sin passed on from parents to children, and that the blood of sinners is impure. It was also a sign pointing forward to Christ, to the only baby boy in human history who was not a sinner, but whose blood could purify the whole sinful human race before God. So they went to the temple in Jerusalem first for the purification of Mary, but they also went for the presentation of the firstborn. The law required that the firstborn son of any Israelite be redeemed from God, bought back from him and from his service. A reminder that God had redeemed the firstborn of Israel by the blood of the Passover lamb long ago. And a sign pointing forward to the Christ, the firstborn son of Mary, by whose blood the whole human race would be redeemed. As Paul wrote in today's epistle, Christ was born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. But before any lamb could be offered to redeem Jesus that day, who was the true Lamb of God, God interrupted the ceremony by sending Simeon at just that moment. Who was Simeon? Simeon was an old man, an aged Israelite, a real-life saint, not because he was sinless or never sinned, but because he lived a life of hope in the true God. Luke says that he was righteous and devout and waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he was a penitent sinner who was eagerly waiting for the Christ to arrive, to console Israel by making atonement for sin and by offering forgiveness to all who believed in him. And as Simeon waited, he lived his life in service to the Lord. He faithfully and dutifully carried out his vocations. In the course of that, somehow, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not die, that he wouldn't be dismissed from the Lord's service here on earth, until he saw the Christ with his own eyes. And somehow the Holy Spirit made sure he recognized the child of Jesus there in the temple as his parents brought him in to do for him according to the custom of the law. And it says, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God with those famous words we now know as the Nunc Dimittis, now you let depart. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. In that song that we sing every Communion Sunday, practically, Simeon announces first that he is ready to depart, to be dismissed from the Lord's earthly service, to die in peace. Now, Simeon, Luke tells us, was just and devout, a good man, a godly man, and yet this godly man had no peace, was not ready to die in peace, except for one thing, except for this child whom he held in his arms. Simeon was what we would call a good man, but even the best of men are sinners before God and will not be let into his presence or into his paradise except for one thing, except for faith in that child. Faith in him for what? Simeon says, my eyes have seen your salvation. Sinners need saving, need rescuing from the condemnation we deserve. For that salvation to take place for any sinner, two things are necessary. The atonement or redemption had to be made, and faith in that atonement, faith in that redemption has to be created. This child was the atonement. His blood was the redemption price. And he was also the one who later would send his Holy Spirit to create faith in him. And for whom would he pay the redemption price? Simeon says, prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. No one on earth, Jew or Gentile, no matter how sincere or religious they may be, will be saved unless they believe in this child held by Simeon, in Jesus, the Christ, the salvation of God. He was offered for all men on earth and is now offered to all men on earth in the preaching of this gospel, so that all might repent and believe in him, both Jew and Gentile alike. And that was Simeon's song, the song that we also sing. He was so joyful to be holding the Christ there in his arms. And his words caused Mary and Joseph to marvel. Then he went on and says that he blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." This was the first time anyone had told Mary and Joseph that their child would cause the fall and rising of many in Israel. It was the first time that this sword was alluded to, apart from the Old Testament scriptures themselves. The first time anyone had told them, "Your child will be spoken against." And of course, the sword that would pierce Mary's soul is a graphic picture of what Mary would face as she sat there at the foot of Jesus' cross when one day he would be crucified, and she watched, helpless. And so the reality of Christmas begins to set in already there, 40 days after Jesus was born. It's the joy of God fulfilling his promise to send his Son to make peace between God and man. It's also the realization that God sent his Son to suffer and die, to be spoken against and rejected, and also to bring judgment on those who would not believe in him. Jesus did cause the fall of many in Israel. How many people have stumbled over Jesus, both Jew and Gentile. Even today, this week, most of the physical descendants of Israel are celebrating Hanukkah, not Christmas. Jesus is, in the words of St. Peter, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. People stumble over Jesus and fall because he calls them sinners and insists that they abandon their sins. Or they stumble because they trust in themselves and their own works to save them. They stumble over Jesus because he claims that only his words are true and life-giving, and that the only way to be justified before God is by faith in him. But, as Simeon said, that child was also destined for the rising of many in Israel. That word "rising" in the Greek is the same word as the word for resurrection. This child is destined for the resurrection of many in Israel. All who acknowledge that they have sinned against God and deserve only his wrath and condemnation, but who look to Christ alone for salvation, are forgiven by God and raised up, resurrected by his Holy Spirit to a new life, even eternal life. As St. Peter also says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." Now, Anna was one of those who had been raised up by that child, even before he was born, by faith in him who was to come. Here was this old Israelite woman, a prophetess, Luke calls her, one of only a handful mentioned in Scripture. She was over 100 years old, if you add up the years Luke gives us. She had lost her husband over 80 years earlier. and had spent those 8 decades not in mourning, not in shaking her fist at God, not in moving on, but in prayer and devotion at the temple day and night. Hardly a trip to the temple could be made without someone saying, "There's Anna. She's always here, always praying, always prophesying." And see how God blessed her on that day. She waited for the Lord, and the Lord made sure that her waiting wasn't in vain. Coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. To all those who looked for redemption, that means that clearly there were many who were not really looking for redemption, just as many in the world around us aren't really looking for it either. People thought they were doing fine on their own. But to all who recognized their sins and had heard and believed God's Old Testament promises of a coming Savior to Israel, they were looking for the Lord's redemption. And how happy they must have been, how joyful to hear Anna from the temple, Anna who was always there, rejoicing and announcing that that redemption had finally come. There was nothing fake about Simeon or Anna. They were real believers, real old people in Israel, true believers. Real Christians, real saints who found real joy in Jesus. Joy that was still there in spite of their own earthly trials and the troubles that always accompany old age to one degree or another. A joy that was still there in spite of what that child would suffer later in his life, in spite of what his Christians would also suffer because of him. In your real lives as Christians, you will not be able to avoid the troubles that are common to mankind. And you better not even try to avoid the troubles that accompany a confession of Christ. But you already know that the joy of Christ is not a matter of finding an ideal life here on this earth, some utopia waiting for you here somewhere. It's about a God who loved you so much that he entered our non-utopian world in order to redeem you from sin and death, in order to bring you first into the joy of his church, and then finally into the joy of his heaven. Learn from the example of Simeon and Anna, both in leading serious, godly lives all the way up to old age, and in the joy that they found in finding Christ. When we sing our next hymn in just a few minutes, picture old Simeon and Anna there singing together with you. Oh, rejoice, ye Christians, loudly, for our joy hath now begun. Wondrous things our God hath done. Tell abroad his goodness proudly, who our race hath honored thus, that he deigns to dwell with us. Joy, oh joy, beyond all gladness, Christ hath done away with sadness. Hence all sorrow and repining, for the sun of grace is shining. Merry Christmas. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.